The good, the bad, and the ugly.
With Terence Pillay.
Hello, Terence.
Hello, Darren.
All right, a contentious issue. As we all know, our present president, we don't know for how much longer, dropped the bomb, a poison chalice for the administration, saying, oh, by the way, education free.
Yeah. And it was exactly that, you know. Yeah, look, there's been a lot of talk about free higher education.
Yes.
As universities and other tertiary institutions prepared to the start of the year.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, President Jacob Zuma did drop this big bombshell at the end of last year when he said that all lower and middle income people, I think the threshold was like 350,000 rand a year, household income, will get free higher education.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a mad scramble in government after that announcement, with people wondering how we were going to afford that. And the NASFAS, which is the National Student Financial Aid Scheme offices, were inundated with applications, and chaos then ensued because, you know, the time for the applications were over, deadlines were over, and that kind of thing. So I read a very interesting piece this weekend in the Mail and Guardian, in which this writer, Mfunza Muller, he outlined some myths surrounding higher education, and many of us would never have thought of it. Mfunza was actually part of the 20-year review of higher education in 2013, and he advised parliamentarians of different funding proposals. And having listened to some of the public debates, he thought that there was a lot of misconceptions around what free higher education would mean.
Okay.
And so, he, like, for example, he says it's a myth that spending on higher education is helping the poor. He says that it's not really about that at all, and it's actually an absurd idea, because the majority of students that go to varsity are not the poorest of poor. In fact, only 5% of South Africans between the age of 15 and 34 are students in universities, while the majority, that's 34%, are unemployed. So students in so by saying that you're going to give everybody free higher education, you're not really helping the poor, unemployed young people, because they're not qualified to go to university.
My counter argument to that would be is, where is he getting those statistics from? Because if they're from a society that up until this point has been a stratified one, in a case in which only the rich and those with money have had access to education, therefore you're using a market that, you know, can get education. I, and a lot of us, strongly believe that free or quality education should be accessible to absolutely anyone. And in South Africa, that means for the 70% of those people who want to get an education, they will not be able to pay for it at all. They need help.
100%. But it doesn't start with university, though. We need a complete overhaul of our schooling system. And I'm going to come up to that in just a minute.
Okay.
So the second myth is that there are no consequences to increasing borrowing to pay for higher education. The myth is that we can afford, if recorded, and there's no cost to it. Of course there's a cost, because where are we going to have the money to pay for this? You know, where's that money going to come from? A number of proposals have been put forward, like taxing the rich and increasing VAT, for example. But the big problem with that is that when you start to tax the rich in this way, they will find creative ways to dodge those taxes. So a wealth tax to supplement higher education is not going to work, right? Then increasing VAT doesn't help either. This simply means that everybody pays more. Mm-hmm. Even the poorest of the poor will pay more for things in shops. So how can that be a good thing?
The studies that I've seen from countries where they do have free education, from Norway to France to Germany to even Spain and Italy and to Greece, is that the monies that they save on these kids that don't turn to gangsterism, that don't, you know, just purely on hospitalization alone, on drug addiction, and violent crime, the reduction on those expenses to the state are where they'll make savings and can inject that into the education 100%. Department.
But if you look at those countries, they're all first world countries, and I use that in parentheses.
Yeah.
They're first world countries, and if you look at places like Germany, for example, the focus is not on just academics. It's a very technical oriented country.
They choose at an early stage in a child's development 100%. If you're going to go go technical or academic. Yes.
And if you overall are primary and secondary school education here, which they've done overseas, and that's why you can have free higher education.
I hear what you're saying, but my question is, where do you start? If you don't start at the free higher education, where is the point that we start? Isn't this a great catalyst point for
us to
level the playing
field? That's the point. Your overall schools. And coming up, I'm going to talk a little bit about
this. Can we open up the lines to this?
Yes.
You as a South African right now, right? And no matter where you are in the class structure, how do you feel about South Africa having free higher education? Or should we ask free education or free higher education? Because that's the...
Free higher education.
Free higher education. I want to know how you're feeling about this right now in South Africa. Do you think it's affordable? Do you think it's doable? Do you think we're making a big mistake?
Hey, Damon. I think it would be a problem if we do make it free higher education, because question for me is, what will it do to the standard or the level of the education? Will it still be taken seriously as it is now when it's being paid for, or not? That's my question. Thanks.
Two things. I think the debate will be on quality higher education, and not. But I do understand your concerns. Yeah. And secondly, give me a D, give me an A, give me a double R E N. Yes, Darren.
Hi guys, I just want to say that free education will be absolutely wonderful, especially for those who cannot afford it. Like in my situation, my son has done extremely well in matric, and we simply cannot afford to send him to higher institution.
Yeah.
But we allowing him to study via correspondence, which is a bit more feasible for us. So free education will be great. Thanks.
This is my point. Education historically has always been available only to those who can afford, not necessarily those who are good, those who can apply themselves, those who want to advance themselves, but it has been such a class distinction. And to do away with that is a win-win-win, I think, for any society.
Yeah, but you need to look at the bigger picture as well, Darren. The bigger picture is that it's such a small proportion of people who actually end up making a significant contribution to this economy. If you look at how many people are unemployed in this country or how many people actually make it to university, you'll realize that, for example, out of the 1 million children that went to school in grade 1, about 400,000 of those students don't even make it to grade 12, right? So already about 40% or 50% of the system has dropped out and become unemployable young people. Then out of that group that actually passed the matric exams, it was about 70% or something this year. A very small proportion of those actually qualified to go to university. So it's a very small elitist top slice of the young people, and you really realistically can't rely on those young people to solely prop up the economy. So if you were to count all the students at tertiary institutions with free higher education, it would be around 12 to 15 billion rand a year, right? But the reality is that it's going to cost a lot more than that. If you take into consideration the cohorts running through the system, that is the first, second, and third year students, the cost will escalate to around 40 billion or so. So perhaps that 12 to 15 billion rand could be affordable now, but can we afford it in 2019 and 2020? Probably not. So what we really need to do is have a rational conversation around this whole free higher education issue. In my personal view, we've created this obsession with higher education as the be-all and end-all of being a well-rounded, contributing member of society, and diminish all other options like technical and artisanal jobs and that kind of thing.
So rather than free higher education, you're looking at a complete overhaul of our education system. 100%.
So we should start with improving our schooling system, so that kids who come out of school might actually be able to find productive work with just a school leaving certificate. And if we increase the quality of our schooling, you can leave with a school leaving certificate and say, here's what I've done, and I can now find a job with this, like they do everywhere else in the world.
I think both are equally important challenges, but to not address either of them would be wrong, and the fact that we're addressing one.
But the thing is, we have this myopic view that somehow we must all go to these academic institutions after school, and that's the only way out. And that's not true, because the world needs more than just academics, and that's what I'm saying.
Let's take another call.
Hi there, my name is Andre. Just think, when it comes to free higher education, they must give bursaries to people depending on their grade. I mean, if they had a great matric pass, they must rather look at those guys instead of the guys who just want everything for free.
You agree with that?
Of course, because the pass rate at the moment, I mean, it was supposed to be 40%, right? And they want to drop that to 20%. So someone who gets 20% in math, how is that person going to go to university and manage in courses like physics and chemistry and or math and that kind of thing? So my point is, overall our schooling system from primary and secondary school level, mm-hmm. and then you tackle higher education.
All right, well, the higher education or free education topic is not going to be going away. And if you want to engage with Terence directly, you can do so on his Twitter. It's @TerencePillay1, 1R in Terence. Thanks, Terence.